Olympic National Park has one of my favorite hikes, and it's called the Mount Storm King. It's a, according to Maui, my partner, it's a brutal 6 miles out and back hike, and you rock scramble. There's ropes that you have to like hold on to get up to the viewpoint. I'm Trizzy.
And I'm Leah.
And this is Ticket to Anywhere podcast, bringing you the gear, tools, and tips to equip you for a travel-filled life.
No matter your travel experience or lack thereof, we aim to be your first stop when you're thinking of where to go, how to get there, what to bring, and what to do.
Catch the latest episode every other Wednesday on YouTube or your favorite listening app.
We'd love to connect with you. Find Ticket to Anywhere on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Pinterest, and LinkedIn.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ticket to Anywhere podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Trizzy at Triz Inc.
And I'm Leah at LA in Flights. And we have a new gathering spot for y'all out there, whether you're listening or watching. It's called our new website. And we made it easy for you. It's tickettoanywhere.com. We're so excited to announce it. You know, we've been functioning without one for this long, 4.5 years. I know, a little wild, but now we're excited to bring you all together in one place where you can listen to the episodes, you can watch the episodes, you can sign up for our newsletter, which releases the first Wednesday of every month. It's called The Check-In. You can apply to be a guest, recommendations about a guest. You can find out about our upcoming in real life events. And we're just super excited to draw everyone to tickettoanywhere.com. So definitely check it out if you want the latest updates and latest episodes.
I can't wait. Just like,
you know, we also can't wait
National
for
Park in the summertime. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Visiting during the summer.
I just can't wait
summer.
For summer in general.
AKA what this episode is about. Yeah. Also, summer is Trizzy's birthday season. So extra reasons to celebrate.
We're currently in spring season, Leah's birthday season. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. So many other things going on.
Yes, indeed. Yes. It was so fun for me to spill out some experiences that I had in certain national parks. And I don't know, this whole national park series, thank you, Leah, for agreeing to do this. But it's just always so fun to talk about being in the outdoors. And this year, you can expect a lot of outdoors from me.
Yeah. I mean, every year, like it progressively becomes more and more outdoors.
That's true.
For you. Yeah. But I think with, you know, this whole national park series, especially in the U.S. and after March 2020, being outdoors and away from others and in nature and taking care of our bodies and taking care of the land and being in the sun has become more prominent, right?
Yeah.
So we thought, why not a better way to show that off and share Trizzy's experiences, mainly because I rarely go to national parks. It's more like if I stumble across one, but Trizzy like makes trips just to go to national parks. So, you know, this is a good one and just in time for summer planning. And also we are recording this on World Water Day.
Oh,
so yeah, it's awesome. World Water Day. Yeah. So we want to preserve all that nature has given us, especially water resources.
Definitely. And without water, we can't be making coffee and tea. So
that's true. Yes. That's true. We can't be nourishing our bodies. Mm-hmm. So what do you have there?
I made a matcha latte today, and the matcha powder is a Kenko brand, K-E-N-K-O.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Love that. And my coffee today, well, it's in my Philippines mug from the Starbucks. Super cute
nice.
Collection, but it's a homemade ube latte. So I take sweet cow condensed milk, drizzle the cup with it, then pour my milk and my espresso shot in the cup to make it an ube flavored latte.
Perfection. Cheers to another episode, Leah.
Cheers.
All right, y'all. Summertime is coming. So that means I will be out in the national parks. I don't know about you, Leah, if you want to join me or not, but
the mosquitoes, absolutely not. So no thanks.
I know. They will get to us. They definitely will get to us. But summertime in the national parks is one of the best times. And I came across a few articles, and it's a very subjective list, right? So some people will say this, some other ones will say different ones, and I have my own list, which I will be talking about in this episode. But I came across Earth Trekkers, and some of their 15, they had a list of 15 national parks to visit in July. And some of them, I'm like, I wouldn't even dare to go. Like Lassen Volcanic National Park. I feel like it's going to be steamy out there, way too hot. But the other ones I can agree with. And just to name a few that I have been during the summer, Olympic National Park, Zion, Bryce, Yosemite, Haleakala, Mount Rainier, Hawaii Volcanoes, Sequoia, and Kings Canyon. And it was funny because when we were thinking of this topic, I was like, man, I don't know if I've been to national parks during the summer. And then I started listing it out and I was like, I've actually been to more than I thought. And thanks to COVID, I feel like that was the time when I really like kicked up my national park game.
Yeah.
During that time, because being in the outdoors was the safest way. But let's go with, obviously I'm not going to go down the list, but I'm going to give you guys two of my favorite ones that I really, really enjoyed that trip. Olympic National Park. I really think this is probably one of the best national parks to go to in the summer. The weather is perfect, and it's up in Washington State. So you fly into SeaTac Airport, and depending on where you want to go to in the park, it could be up to 2-hour drive, or it could be up to a 4-hour drive. So what we did, I have family there. So we stayed one night with my family, and then the next morning we drove out to Staircase Rapids Trail, which is the easternmost point of the Olympic National Park. And that took 2 hours. We stayed overnight. So you could do Olympic National Park and get basically everything that the park has to offer with an overnight trip.
Okay.
Much better if you could do 2 nights so you don't have to rush and try and cram everything in. Just in case of any unexpected closures and stuff, because national parks, you have to expect that. But Olympic National Park, they have tons of rivers and streams within the park. They have glaciers. There's a 73-mile stretch of coastline. So it's beautiful for sunset. You have beaches. You have tide pools. The two beaches that we were able to go to was Kalalak, which has the Tree of Life, which is this huge tree, and you're able to see the roots because the ground that the roots is on is completely not there. So it's open. You see the roots. Don't do anything bad to it because there's like a curse.
Ooh.
So if you put trash under it, if you vandalize it, there's something bad that's
the ancestors will come for you.
That's right. Ruby Beach and Rialto Beach, they are definitely known for great sunsets. And you'll see lots of really cool rock formations at these beaches. And it's a nice beach to look at, but do not get into the water. These waters are not safe because of the driftwood. And driftwood is basically just fallen trees, fallen logs, just in the ocean. So if you turn your back, which they say, do not turn your back on the ocean.
Yeah.
You could get hit by a driftwood. Remarkable sight to see, but very, very dangerous. So keep that in mind. And for all you Twilight lovers or you vampire book readers, you will come across a city called Forks close by Olympic National Park. So you can stop there, get your Twilight on. And it's actually pretty cool. You get the feel of it. So whether you watched it or not, since we stayed there overnight, there are places, there's campsites, and there's lovely lodging. I think you cannot go wrong with the cabins out there. They're nestled on like close by lakes. So you get that lake view, you get mountains surrounding you and beautiful tall trees. Like I said, you can't go wrong with any of the accommodations, whether you want to do a campsite or a cabin. where we stayed at overnight was called the Log Cabin Resort, and it's on the north side of the park. The most famous one, I would say, is the Solduck Hot Springs Resort because of the mineral hot springs that you can enjoy and indulge yourself in. So that one I have not tried. I would definitely need to go back. But always book in advance. And the reason why I couldn't get that resort was because I didn't book in advance.
Oh.
So we actually got lucky with the Log Cabin Resort. Otherwise, everything else was super booked. And Olympic National Park has one of my favorite hikes, and it's called the Mount Storm King. It's according to Maui, my partner, it's a brutal 6 miles out and back hike, and you rock scramble. There's ropes that you have to like hold on to get up to the viewpoint. And once you get up there, it's just a gorgeous view of the lakes and a 360 view of the park. And I love the experience. I love the fresh air that you get when you start hiking early in the morning. And when you get to the top, you just feel so, so, so accomplished. And if you do start early, let's say sunrise, layer up because it stays cold during the summer. But later in the day, it will start getting hot and you're in movement. There's incline, there's elevation on this hike. So definitely do it. But if you start late, I don't think you need to layer up because you get hot real quick. Real, real quick, y'all. Other notable things at this park, I would say, is the Hall of Mosses Trail, Mary Mir Waterfall, and you could kayak Lake Crescent, which is gorgeous. Or you could just chill out and not do anything active there. And the Staircase Rapids, the first thing that we did, that was our first stop. It's a loop and it has like a suspension bridge that you could walk across. It's a 2 mile loop. So just do that as your first activity when you're getting into Olympic National Park from the airport. I say that it's a good exercise to the rest of your day.
I'm just imagining I can picture all your content in as you're naming these places. And for those for those watching, it'll obviously pop up on screen. For those listening, you got to check out our YouTube or Triz Inc. for the awesome videos she's made about these certain places, these certain spots.
Appreciate that. Yes. Man, this makes me – because I went July 2020 and I didn't have much – I grew up in Seattle and I never went out there my whole life up until July 2020. And – low expectation of the park and it blew me away. One of my top
why
parks
low expectation
to go to. I just thought it was just gonna be greens and trees and that's it, but you know, you don't expect the beaches to be how it is, especially during sunset, and you don't expect the blueness of the lakes once you get to the top of the hike and you're like, wow, this is gorgeous. I mean, it's sometimes it's good to have low expectations.
No, that's true.
So you can blown out of
that's
the water
true.
Like that. Yeah.
You don't want to be disappointed all the time. So
for sure. Yeah. Another one that I would really highly recommend people check out during the summer would be Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, which is out in what people know as the Big Island, but properly it's Hawaii Island.
Okay.
Yeah, the entrance to the park is closer to the Hilo side, and Hilo and Kona are like the big cities that people know of when you're flying into Hawaii Island. But we started off in Hilo, so we flew into Hilo knowing that we were going to do this national park. This has two of the most active volcanoes, so definitely check the national park website for
activity,
any closures, eruptions, because apparently the most recent eruption was September 2023.
Oh my gosh, that was like and 5 months ago, 6 months
exactly.
ago.
And currently part of the Mauna Loa Trail is closed due to the recent eruptions. Mm-hmm. So always check back because you don't want to have to, if you're flying into Kona and you're driving all the way out to Hilo just to go to this park, you don't want to go all that way just to find out things are closed. Yeah. So it's very important to check back. But yeah, this this park is just, it's so cool because you get to get up close and personal to the crater. Mm-hmm. You get to walk on a crater and walk along sulfur banks, which could be really stinky.
Yeah.
And really hot. But also, please stay on the boardwalk mm-hmm. that they created, because if you drop something, you might have to just let that go and not try and go get it, because there's photos and there's drawings, there's signs of people saying stay on the boardwalk or else you're going to be melting in the sulfur banks.
It's a terrible way to go.
They show no mercy in signage there. Yeah, but also there's lava tubes mm-hmm. that you could go into, which is really, really awesome. So remember to bring a flashlight or a headlamp. I do not think they provide that, or there's any like vendors mm-hmm. out there that will hand you a flashlight or a headlamp. Yeah. So you might have to bring your own. Your camera light is not going to work. It's not bright enough. Oh. That's how dark it is in there. Yeah.
That's a good tip.
Keep in mind.
Really good tip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll get to see old lava flows, and some of them just flow into the ocean, and they created like a sea arch. Wow. It's just really, really cool what nature can do.
I'm pretty sure when I was younger, that is the park we went to, and I was like literally running over the rocks because it was too hot.
Yeah.
I was like 15 or 16. Oh my 16. Gosh. Yeah. It's by the ocean, right? And we saw the lava like mm-hmm. spilling out to the ocean, and our dad was like, you better keep moving because you're going to melt your shoes. Yeah.
That's crazy. So you really got like a fresh lava flow.
Yeah. Okay. It was kind of scary.
When I went, it wasn't fresh. Everything was hardened. Wow. And we were able to walk on top of lava fields and not have to like feel the heat or rush out of it.
We had to run out of there. We're like, you gotta go.
Wow.
This is so long ago, but I remember it.
That's really cool as a kid to experience.
I was like, I'm gonna die. That's what I was.
Because you just think of Dante's Peak, the movie, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're in the middle of it, so we gotta go. But lava flows pretty slowly, so hopefully
nothing, it does,
nothing will happen to you guys. But apparently some of these lava fields, they have petroglyphs too. When I was there, I don't remember seeing any of it. I just remembered the natural artistry of how these lava flows just braided into each other, and it just looks like its own art piece in itself. For those who don't like to hike, there's a great scenic route that you could take through the park.
Nice. So, like driving, or can you bike it also?
Driving,
I'm
sure there are places where you could bike, but from my memory, it didn't look very bike friendly. Okay. My last option, I know I said I was going to give you just two of what I've experienced, but this one, I'm just going to keep it short. On the list, it said Zion National Park, or on the article, it said Zion National Park. I've gone there and I thought it was like way too hot.
During the summer, right?
During the summer, yes. But if you do go, I would say the thing that you should do at Zion National Park during the summer is the Narrows. Okay. Because the Narrows, the water is extremely cold. So the Narrows is basically you're in the slot canyons of Zion National Park, and you're hiking through water. You're trekking. You're water trekking with your backpack, with your poles. You have extra clothing in your water backpack, and you go miles and miles. And of course, you could turn around at any point, but there's an ending. If you make it all the way to the end, you basically get the whole place to yourself.
Wow.
And it's something that I really wanted to do. We've tried it twice. We signed up to get rental gears twice. And each of those times were during the spring. And that got canceled because there was flash flooding warnings. So I never got to do it. So I'm hoping in one of these summers I can go back and do the Narrows. But I would just do the Narrows for the summer.
Okay. Okay. That's a really hot tip. Dang, flash floods. I forgot about those.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But it'll be fun to canyoneer. I always say to myself, for my birthday, I would do canyoneering. But then I think of something else.
I feel like you've been saying that for the past like 4 years.
I know. Sadly.
If you're watching this, did you see the door open behind me?
Is that Lucy?
It's like a ghost story.
Oh, cute. I was saying Lucy is our Ticket to Anywhere mascot.
Oh my gosh, she should be, except she has like anxiety. So she's like nervous in front of the camera. She has camera. I think she's camera shy.
She's camera shy. She don't pick up after you, Auntie Leah.
The only thing we have in common is we both like the sun. That's about it.
Ooh. Well, there's a few things to know before you go to these national parks. Mm-hmm. And as of this year, 2024, a lot of national parks started implementing required timed entry. Some have already had that, but there's a lot more. And to name a few, Mount Rainier, Glacier, Yosemite. And there are some that requires permits for certain hikes. So for Zion, you're going to need a permit for Angel's Landing. And obviously, Yosemite has been doing this for years, but you need like a permit. And it's lottery based, I believe, for the Half Dome hike.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so basically the scary hikes.
Have you done Half Dome?
I have not done Half Dome.
Do you want to?
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
I know.
But it's not a priority or anything, or?
You know
what? I'm curious why you haven't done it yet.
Yeah, years ago it was a priority, okay. But nowadays I'm just like, if it happens, it happens. I'm not trying to like make it a super priority.
Okay. So sorry, what were you going to say about Janine, our friend, Lil Wild Explorer?
Oh yeah, exactly. Our friend Janine, she has done it, I think several times, and I've asked her if it's as scary.
She's in Yosemite like every month.
Yeah, that's her backyard. Yeah. I've asked her if it's as scary as it looks, and she said, you know, you just have to be very diligent, have the hand grips or like buy certain gloves to grip on the cables, and just try not to be such a show off on those cables.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. And why don't you recommend Yosemite during summer?
It's just way too crowded. Yeah. I've done that. It's and they're, you know, they're doing the timed entry just to control foot traffic. But yeah, my experience is just the crowds.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Can you tell us a little I'm like part of the audience now. a little more about the time entry, like what do the time blocks look like, and then how far in advance can you reserve the, you know, I love the nitty gritty because I'm like, someone else out there is probably wondering.
So for Rocky Mountain National Park, you get to reserve the timed entry a month in advance. So if you're going in July, starting June 1st is when you can reserve. It's $2 for the timed entry per day. Mm-hmm. Plus, you'll need a national park pass or a day pass, which is $35. And you have 7 consecutive days to use it. With Rocky Mountain National Park, there's 2 different timed entry passes. One gives you access to one part of the park and the other one, another part of the park. I believe the timed entry gives you a 2-hour time slot. So you have whatever the 2 hours you booked to get into the park. And after 2 p.m., you can go into the park without timed entry. Things might have changed since last August when I went. I would say just check back on the National Park Service website under Rocky Mountain and double check if it's the same. And for the winter and spring season, you don't need a timed entry. I think this is just for summer and maybe fall. And for Yosemite, it was a little bit different where you book the timed entry and there's no 2-hour time slots. It's basically you book it and you can go between 5 a.m. to 4 p.m. according to the National Park website or according to recreation.gov where you book these timed entry slots. Like I said, unfortunately, it's $2 charge per day. So if you're going Saturday and Sunday, you'll have to pay $4. And things are always changing. I wish I could go down the list on how each of these parks have their timed entry, but that will take a lot of time. So the best bet is to just visit National Park Service, nps.gov, find the particular national park, and they will explain to you how their timed entry system works.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how was it going last summer?
For Rocky National Park, Rocky Mountain, I think it was okay. It was our first time going there, and the crowds didn't seem too bad. Okay. Maybe it was because we aimed to be early on during the hikes. Mm-hmm. And with Yosemite, that wasn't really the case because we were going with family.
Oh, so yeah. Drag them out of bed, feed the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Rocky Mountain National Park, I would recommend that park as well. But there is elevation that you have to consider. And that humbled me a lot. So use the first day to acclimate to the elevation.
Acclimate to the acclimation.
Yeah. And luckily what you can do to acclimate is take the scenic route. You could drive throughout the park, loop back around, get to your place. We stayed out in Estes Park, which was about like 10-15 minutes away from the entry.
Oh, it's close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're one to start activities later in the day, look into shuttle services around the park and plan accordingly. Nice. Just because if you want to go later in the day, your parking situation might be pretty tough in any national parks, especially the big ones, Yosemite, Zion. They offer shuttle services, so consider using those if you want to go hiking at 10 a.m. That is considered late.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Mm-hmm. A good place to find the resources is the National Park Service official website, nps.gov. They will have recent updates for you. They'll have shuttle services. They'll help you find accommodations, food, restaurants around the parks that you want to check out. And in these parks, you would have limited reception. So always download your maps or offline your maps, the area that you're going to be in. I would say just try and do it for like the city itself, not just like the national park or whatever city it's in.
Yeah.
Do that beforehand. Ran into issues in my early hiking days and you don't want to be lost.
Yeah. Yes. Wait, what happened? I want to hear a quick story of an example.
This wasn't like in the national park. This was out in like Sedona. We were just lost finding our way through Subway Cave. And we found like another viewpoint, which was great. But we came across like other people that got lost too. Mm-hmm. So we just got to, roam around the wild together.
And how did you like find your way out?
Well, we backtracked to... Okay. We just kept backtracking until we found something familiar, and then we saw like these tiny little signs this way, and we're like, "Oh, great, yeah." So always offline, you don't want to get lost. Although getting lost sometimes is a good thing. Luckily, we had a good experience with it.
Have daylight still as well.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You found others who are equally as lost.
It was funny. Yeah, we formed like a pack of seven or something. I was like, good. Wow, what to bring with you? Definitely need water. So what you'll see.
Would you recommend?
Oh, well, it really depends on what you're doing. So if you're going for like the long hikes, let's say if you do the Mount Storm King hike, which is a 6-mile round trip, probably a 32 ounce or 40 ounce, something bigger. Something big.
If you're watching this, I'm cackling because I learned a few weeks ago at Travel Goods Association that Trizzy is not good at counting ounces and weights like pounds, kilograms, etc. So she actually probably doesn't know what a 32 ounce water bottle, how much water that is.
If you show me something visually and say, how big is this? I'm not going to know. It's terrible.
But you're so confident in thinking. You're like, yeah, this is 32 ounces. You're so confident.
Now I go off of that moment. Like, that is my, 32 ounces is not that small.
I'm laughing because she thought her 20-ounce Hydro Flask, which was very, very obviously 20 ounces, she straight up thought it was 32. I'm like... No way, it's 32 ounces.
It's so
bad.
I
love this. Oh yes. My God.
Distances, I'm really bad at it as well.
Maybe just bring more water than you think you need to.
Yeah. On these trips.
parks, right?
For sure, yes. And the good thing is a lot of these national parks, they will have refill station the visitor center. So try and be sustainable as well. Like bring and use a reusable water bottle. And also pack a garbage bag. I was going to say pack a plastic bag, but we're trying to eliminate plastic. So pack a bag where you could collect your trash. And if you want to, you know, be good to the earth, other people's trash that you come along on hikes. Pack in, pack out, leave no trace. Please try and do that, people. Since you're going in the summer, also bring sunblock.
Yes.
Very important. Along with that is mosquito repellent. Yeah. Leah will need.
Yes.
Ideally,
sunnies even, right? In addition to the sunblock.
Exactly. With the sunblock and mosquito repellent, ideally try to use a lotion or a pump spray. Avoid using aerosol spray cans just because that can harm plant life. So trying to do better. We're trying to preserve the land.
100%. And it's always, I've looked this up, Googled it, tested it many times. Sunscreen first, bug spray second.
That is a really good tip.
Yeah, it's a good tip because I never knew for the longest time. But sunscreen, let it soak in for its 10, 12, 15 minutes, and then bug spray.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. So when you reapply, it's the same thing too. Sunblock and then bug spray. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. So bring some snacks, bring a hat, bring a towel or a blanket, or in Leah's case, a sarong.
Yeah. Hey, multi-use. We all know this.
Yes, 100%. And also a noisemaker for any animals you might encounter.
What's a good noise? Like, what's an example of a noisemaker?
You
know,
you could just clap your hands. You could scream. There's air horns that you could get, but I feel like that's really obnoxious. I've seen a lot of people just go like, hey, and just scream and clap. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be fancy, you could bring a noisemaker. Air horn. Okay. You could bring, I don't know what those are called, but you spin it and it just makes like, loud noise.
Okay. Bring. I'm just thinking of the hand clappers that were party favors when we were kids.
You could bring that too.
The hands are like this. You know what I'm talking about?
That may work. Yes. If it works, it works. You know, you'll keep bears away from you, so it's all
and
good.
Also people
and people. That actually might attract people. They'd be like, can I play with that?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So those are some of my tips and recommendations. If you're thinking about going to a national park this summer, which I highly hope you guys consider. But in the future, there's a few parks that I hope to visit in the summer. And you could also put this on your list. Glacier National Park in Montana. Channel Islands here in California. Shame on me for not having been there yet.
Yeah, Channel. I haven't been to Channel Islands either. I want to.
Let's go together. Yes. North Cascades in Washington. That I heard is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I don't think in the summer you'll be able to catch the northern lights, but you'll get like beautiful turquoise blue lake water and Crater Lake in Oregon.
Yes.
So just to name a few for y'all. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Now it's end of April, so all y'all are going to go out. You have plenty of time to plan your summer national park trips.
Mm-hmm, definitely, and I hope. Yeah, and if you guys are planning, let us know in the comments where you're going to and then what your tips are, because there's still a lot that we haven't gone to, so we're always open.
Yeah, definitely. Sweet, this was super helpful. I loved it. Need to plan my trip. We're going to Channel Islands. Me and Tracy are going to Channel Islands.
That's right.
Catch us on our next episode out in Channel Islands.
We'll be kayaking.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening in on the Ticket to Anywhere podcast, y'all. We'll see y'all next time. Bye.
This is Trizzy at Triz Inc.
This is Leah at LA in Flight.
To find even more travel tips on budgeting, destinations, and our favorite items, sign up for our monthly newsletter, The Check-In, linked in the show notes or description.
This is the Ticket to Anywhere podcast. Thanks for listening.